All right, today I will believe and confess that Jesus Christ was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Praise the Lord. All right, amen. I want to say this. Yesterday we had a meeting with our basically helps folks, just dealing with church security and stuff like that. Of course, you know, there are all kind of things going on out there in the world, you know, different people, things just going on in organizations, people breaking into churches, all kind of things going on, and shooting and all kind of crazy things. You know, we don't have a major training going on around here for congregations. There's no such thing. All we instruct you to do is just follow the ushers. If there's anything that ever goes on, just follow the instructions of the ushers, and you will be, you should be fine. What we don't want is a bunch of people jumping up around here running all over the place, because, you know, doing that creates problems. So it's better to just follow instructions. It's easy when you're dealing with, it's a fire. Well, hey, everybody stand up. We go out that door right there. Simple. Some things are not as simple, right? So, but for the most part, we do have everything secure. We're comfortable enough that we should not be dealing with some of those things. We've got cameras and TVs everywhere. So our thought pattern is that we should be encountering people long before we ever have some problem inside of our sanctuary. So, but we just did want to mention that to you so that you're aware. You should follow usher's instructions during any kind of a problem that might be an emergency. All right, so today I want to start in the book of Luke. I'm going to go to Luke chapter 14, Luke chapter 14. And we're going to look in Luke chapter 14, and we're going to read verse 25 through 35. So when you get there, we're going to see if we can begin at verse 25. Luke 14, and we're going to begin at verse 25. All right, here we go. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth down not first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. All right, today I'm entitling my message, Count the Cost. Count the Cost. That's the title of my message. And my thesis, what I'm hoping is going to happen when I get to the end of this, is that it is important to understand that we can never achieve anything of value without a plan that includes the cost. It is important to understand we cannot achieve anything of value without a plan that includes the cost. Now, one of the things that I want to do, I want to start by going back to verse 33. And I want to look at verse 33. I haven't put it up there for you. Verse 33, Jesus says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. So we understand then that this discussion that Jesus is having right now has to do with specifically, you want to start there, Clay? There you go. That's specifically with discipleship, all right? So that this is what he's talking about. But I want to kind of branch into two areas in a way here this morning. What I want to talk about is Christian discipleship, but I also want to talk about goal achievement as a Christian, the things that God wants you to get done. You know, many of you, whether it's in relationships or your business or your anything else that you have going on, your finances, there are things that are going on in your life that you're trying to get stuff done and you're trying to get to a particular place. And the only way you're going to do that is to recognize what Jesus said. Now, when you start talking about this word cost, I put a little definition up there. Cost is an amount that has to be paid or spent to buy or obtain something. Now, many times people, you know, it's like we tell people, you know, if you're a Christian, it means you're a disciple, that's what you want to be, of Christ. And a disciple is someone who accepts the doctrine or the teaching of another person. I mean, you literally accept it. Okay, I take that. I accept that teaching. Okay, now, it's one thing to say I'm a Christian. It's another thing to be a disciple of Christ, which means then that what is it that he's saying, right? So here we see then that Jesus said what? Likewise, whoever it be of you that forsakes not all that he has cannot be my disciple. In other words, you got to forsake everything. What does that mean, though? What is he talking about? Now, when we go back, we see Jesus in verse 26 saying this, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brothers and his sisters and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Why is he saying that? What is his point? The word hate doesn't mean hate like we tend to think about it. I don't like you. I'm mad at you and all that. The word hate there actually means love less. All right, it means to love less. So if Jesus says the only way you're going to get this thing done, the only way you're going to get there is you have to love everything less, including yourself, than me. And if you think about it a little deeper, you could see then why this would get you to wherever it is that God is telling you. When God says, I've magnified my word above my name, then we understand why then, if in fact Jesus is saying, if you want to be my disciple, you're going to have to love less everything, including yourself. And then he said, take up your cross and follow me. This is the only way that a true Christian marriage can happen. If you look at it where God says, husband, love your wife like Christ loved the church. Can't nobody do that. Not on your own. Not if you refuse or love yourself more than you love Christ. Because there are going to be moments that you're going to be in a situation that you're not going to want to do that. The Bible says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as unto the Lord. Yeah, right. Sure, I got you. But many times people are like, yeah, only to the extent though that what? He acting right. This is what's happening. So in a Christian marriage, the problem always is, what does the word say? And can I do to what the word says? God says, I magnify my word above my name. So I could run around all day saying, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. But I will never succeed in my marriage unless I do what? Love less myself. I see, I can't love my wife so much above myself, because that's not the answer. I can't love myself. That's not the answer for sure. I've got to love all of that less than I love Christ and my willingness to follow him and do what he says. That's why he says in verse 27, whosoever doth not bear his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. So everything that people want to take on as crosses most of the time are not what God's talking about. I'm sick. I guess I got to bear my cross. That ain't your cross. The cross, look, the word says I got to do something in a situation, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this, I say. And you might be, if you were talking to regular people, they would agree with you. That ain't right. I wouldn't do that, they would say. But that's not the point. The point is, what did Jesus say? See, it's one thing to talk about Jesus, say, I'm with him. It's another thing to follow Jesus. All right, to say, I'm going to be your disciple. And Jesus says, look, y'all need to understand, I need you to count the cost. He says, now, I'm telling you now, he says, think about the comparisons he makes. He starts off saying this. He says, who begins to build a tower and does not first sit down and count what you got to see if what you have is sufficient to finish? He says, unless you go lay the foundation and then you're not able to finish, and people come and laugh at you and make fun of you. I mean, come on, now think about the world today. Most of the time when we're doing something, if you came to me right now and you said, Pastor, I'm about to build a house. I said, oh, that's nice. What's it look like? I don't know, you say to me. I'm like, oh, okay, well, where are you building it? I don't know. Okay, well, do you got some land? Well, not yet. Okay, so how you going to build this house? Well, the Lord will take care of that. We're going to get to that. The Lord going to take care of it. How the Lord going to take care of that? See, Jesus says, look, just like this works, that's how it works with me. You don't come bragging about the house you're going to build. Now, you can have a dream house, and that's all it is, right? A dream. But that's okay, because eventually that dream can be put on paper, and somebody will draw it out, and somebody might tell you, we can't build that. They have some dreams people have that just can't be built. Even if you had the money, they can't build them. Because the metal don't bend like that, they tell you. This don't happen. That don't happen. That's impossible. We just can't do that. People say anything's possible. Everything ain't possible. There's some ways you just can't bend metal. There's some things you can't do. So fine. Got it. Understood. But until you put it on paper, we have nothing that we're looking at. So here you have people get married. And you ask them, what are you going to do in 25 years? Have a great life. That's what we're going to have. And how do you propose to have that great life? Well, God is going to watch over us, we say. That's what we all say now. You know, we all guilty of it to some extent. But the idea of, do you have a plan? Did you sit down and plan this thing out and say, okay, hold up now. This is what I'm thinking of doing in 2 years, 4 years, five. People say, well, God said don't consider tomorrow. God said don't worry about tomorrow. He didn't tell you don't think about it, don't plan for it. It's okay to plan. You got to do something. If you're not going to build a house that way, would you? You're not going to say, well, you know, we're going to just see how it happens. You don't have land. You don't have a plan. You go to the contractor, tell them, build me a house. And they say, well, what kind of house you want? Well, you decide. Now, it may be okay to go to restaurants. I never do that in a restaurant. Sometimes Sister Lori will do it. You know, she'll look at him and say, what do you recommend? And I'm like this. Look, I ain't ask you nothing, because bottom line is, I don't believe you no way. Ain't no way you done ate everything on this menu. Well, I like the so-and-so, they'll tell you. And you'll be like, I'm thinking, come on now, you ate all this on here? But anyway, some of them, maybe they have. Maybe they've eaten it all, and they remember exactly which one. And they know exactly what I would like, so they're going to recommend it to me. I don't do that. I'm not interested in their recommendations. I look, and I usually stay in the middle of the road, chicken, you know, everything is chicken. I get some chicken, you know, and I'm good. I know what to expect, right? But you got to understand, if you want to build your life, whatever it is, I want to go to college, you say. Okay, well, where? How long you plan on staying in there? How you going to pay for it? Like today now, everybody like, cancel my student loan. You ain't have a plan to pay that back? Well, that plan didn't work. Okay, but did you have a plan? Most people didn't have one. If they tell the truth, they know them people told them, just get that loan, pay that money, and we'll get a job eventually. That's what they tell you, and people do it. They borrow all this money to go to school with the intent that some kind of way it's going to happen. Life don't just happen like that. You know, things don't just happen. Life is happening, yes. But you got to understand, if you buy a house today and you don't cut your grass, I guarantee you your grass is going to grow all the way up to your front door. It'll probably get 3-4 feet high if you don't cut it. I can guarantee you that. So you got to get out there and you got to cut it. Who's going to do it? Who's going to take care of it? The Lord? This is how people live in life, though. Think about it. I mean, the most important thing, your relationship with God, the fact that people say, I'm going to heaven. And how are you doing that? You got a plan? Well, God's going to take care of it. How? What is he doing? I mean, what is he expecting? You ain't got no thoughts about how you planning to go see God when you die. That's what you're telling me. That's your plan. And exactly what's going to happen when you get there? Do you have a plan? Do you even know what you plan to say? Well, I ain't worrying about all that. Well, you might want to think about it. See, if you think about it, you say to yourself, this is interesting. What if God were to ask me, what did I do with my life? What would be my response? Look, I've interviewed for a lot of jobs, and some big jobs even. And every time I would go and do the research, the thing they always tell you, even the coaches tell you, is please anticipate the questions. Go, don't be standing there and when the people say, so exactly what is your plan for this business if we were to let you run it?
Well, I hadn't thought about that.
You hadn't thought about it? Think about it. Go craft an answer and make it the answer that's real. Now, you know, because maybe you find out you don't need that job. Some people just want jobs because they got titles on them and other things, or the salary. They looking at the salary. They ain't thought no way through. Why do you want this position? What is your plan to make this a better place? How are you going to impact these employees that work here so when it's over, they glad you in charge? No, I just want a title and whatever the money come with it. I ain't thought nothing about it. No plan. So then you sit down and your boss-to-be says, so what exactly is your vision? Vision, you say? You ain't thought about it? Oh, and the worst one, please, is tell me your strengths and weaknesses. And then the people are like, well, you know, my biggest weakness is, you know, I mean, I work hard. Yeah, everybody play you with that. You know, my biggest weakness, you know, I work so hard, I never know when to stop. In other words, you know, my weakness is this strength. And that's supposed to impress me. And I'm looking at you going, okay, come on. You can't do better than that. You don't have nothing you weak at. You know what weak mean? Weak mean you can't do it. Is there something about yourself that you recognize you can't do? Think about it for a little while. Give it some thought so that when you answer the question and I'm interviewing you, I go, wow, that was a unique answer because you thought about it, right? But you're going to go to heaven. I ain't even thought about it. Go stand before God. And you're going to be like, Jesus is going to be like, so tell me. Why exactly did you do that? Well, I thought you was the one behind that. And the Lord will be like, and where did you find that in here? I mean, he's going to say, look, if you were following me when I was on the planet, you would have heard me say, salt is no good when it loses saltness. What are you going to do with salt that ain't no good? You throw it out. So what made your life salty? In other words, when people met you, what made them want to taste Jesus? I never thought about it, Lord. You mean you were my disciple. Now, you following me. And I told you, go and win the world. And you ain't give no thought to how that works? No plan? You just go live? Is that what you do? Is that how you think it works? Come on, now, hear Jesus telling us. Likewise, he says, likewise, if you want to be my disciple, you want to be successful at this, likewise, think about these two examples. One, the man decides he's going to build a tower. And before he lays his foundation, he counts his cost so people don't laugh at him. Look, when you get to heaven and God be laughing, y'all going to be like, I can't believe he's laughing. You know how people say that all the time? This ain't funny. No, God going to ask you a question, and it's serious time, you think. And then God going to be making fun. And when he say they mocking, he says they going to make fun. Look at that. Y'all know the people we talking about. Now, I know y'all don't mock nobody, but y'all know who I'm talking about. Yeah, they think they start that big old house. They ain't going to finish. You know that she don't never finish nothing she start. They watching you, right? And that's what Jesus says. He says they're going to mock you. Instead of you looking at your bank account to see, do I have what it takes? Let's get out your bank account. Do you have what it takes to hang out with that man forever? That woman forever? Are you going to come down the aisle and say, I do, and it's just supposed to be? I do it be. No. The word tells you now, it's about to lock you down. It's about to lock you down and tell you, look, this is what you have to do in this situation. Now, let me just give you a quick example. This ain't about marriage today. This is about just growing in the word. Now, if it applied to you, don't say ouch and don't be going all up under the pew, because I'm not trying to talk to nobody in particular. I'm just talking about the word and life. But this is one quick example. All right. Let me see if I can get there right quick. All right. One quick example. Oh, I know. I'm going the wrong way. One quick example. I thought Paul said it, but actually it was Peter. I mean, and you know, you would look at Peter and say, you must be out of your mind. You got to be crazy. But that's why Jesus said, you have to be willing to forsake your own self. But then you got to say to yourself, well, wait a minute, hold up. Now listen to this. Here we got the word likewise again. Now, this is what Peter say in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, you wives. Now he's talking to women that are married. We know he's not talking to women that ain't married. And if they planning on getting married, they need to know they will be being talked to after they get married. You should know that. Here it is. It's in the book. See, don't go listen to what Oprah telling you. Look in the book. You ain't going to be Oprah's disciple. You got to be Jesus' disciple. Jesus said, you want to be my disciple? I'm going to need you to love yourself less. Now you're going to see why. See, if you love yourself more than you love Jesus, I can tell you the answer you're about to give him to this one. Peter say, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, not your pastor. But you know, however that worked, that's cool, but your own husband. Because it says, if any obey not the word, oh, Lord. So we're not talking about the husband that doing the Bible. The Bible say he don't obey the word. That they may also without the word. Since they ain't using the word, you might well leave the word closed. Because showing him the word don't help. Look what the Bible say. He like, what you talking about? I don't look at that. I ain't doing that. He ain't doing the word. So you would think we could tell God, look, God, he ain't doing the word. And God would say, you right. Slap that and be through. Yeah, you think that's what God would say, right? That ain't what he said. He said, look at what, how dare you, Peter? Peter talking about, they may also without the word be won by the conversation. And the conversation means lifestyle. So in other words, you know, you're talking all that Christian stuff. So he's supposed to be able to watch you. And some kind of way, he's supposed to get it and go, wow. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day. We were having a little counseling session. I said, I remember this lady. She said that, you know, her husband wasn't doing it and everything. And she was cooking him breakfast every morning and doing all that stuff. And he was coming in all hours of the morning. She was cooking him breakfast till 1 a.m. Finally, she threw the breakfast at him. Had enough. Okay. Am I saying that Jesus told her to throw the breakfast at that man? Absolutely not. We know he did not. Now, I'm not here to try to tell y'all where to stay and when to leave. I'm not talking about none of that this morning. I'm trying to get you to understand how serious this stuff is with Jesus. Because when you go, I mean, it ain't like you don't have a heads up on it. It's not like God surprises you. You know, it's like all of a sudden, you know, you get married with no book, nothing. And then you're in there and you're praying and stuff going on. All of a sudden, an angel show up and say, look, here's the deal. You can't do this. And you're like, what? If I had known that, I wouldn't have gotten married. Exactly. That's what Jesus told them boys when he said, you know, if that's the case, a man shouldn't get married. Jesus said, yeah, you got a point. Why didn't Jesus say, well, come on, now, I ain't trying to take it. I ain't making it that serious. No, Jesus said, you're right. See, because God looks at that relationship and takes it very serious, right? And God's looking at it saying, hey, I'm taking this very serious. So y'all need to take this serious, what's going on. Now, you want to be my disciple or not? Most people, they love the bread Jesus had, his free stimulus. I mean, Jesus could stimulate bread. It wasn't nothing, man. He had ongoing stimulus. It was the bread, health, all that. Checks ain't never run out. People love Jesus until he set down some rules about how you keep getting this. Then it was like, how you gonna put some constraints on my life? Jesus said, look, this is called a cross. This is called what I need you to do. This is called how I want you to walk. Don't get upset with me, but that's how it works, Jesus said, whenever I start trying to get serious with y'all. Now, think about it. Think about every time you get involved in one of them programs that they be talking about, we can help you lose 40 pounds in 2 days. They got all this stuff you got to do. Then by the time you get to 6 hours, you like, I can't do this no more. They said, but it ain't but 2 days. Right. But they want me to drink 8 gallons of water every 10 minutes. And they want me to do this and they want me to do that. And what happens is it's so intense that what the outcome, it just, at some point I'm like, that's all right. I do something different. Or then I start saying things like, well, everybody got to have a few extra pounds anyway. And I'm not saying that you should or shouldn't. All I'm saying is you got to make a decision. If you say I want this, you must sit down and count the costs associated with that. That's all Jesus saying. Jesus ain't saying, he ain't telling you to go lose no weight, gain none. He ain't telling you to get money in your account or not. I'm saying to you, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus and then achieve certain things you're saying you want, you must count the cost associated with those things. You can't, what? People say, people that keep their money in the stock market over years, they do well. Well, yeah, that's true if you got a stomach for it. Because people say, man, back in 2010, you look at the money that was put in today, you'd have all this money. Right, but if you follow it every day for them 10 years, there were some days you will lose your mind because your money done went from $10,000 to $5,000. And most people can't take it. They sell. So all you're seeing is, although the line goes up, very few people kept it that long because they didn't know what was going to happen. Somebody, I bought Bitcoin when it was $1. And it went up to 60,000, right? And today it's 20,000. So the question is, where would you be right now? Would you have held it or would you sold it at 50? Would you have sold it at 40? What you going to do? The question is, what are you in this for? Are you an investor? Are you a speculator? What do you want? See, that's the thing. You gotta get real about it and say, this is what I want. You know, when you meet somebody and you're ready to get married, you think, or you want to be, you got to ask yourself the question, what is it that I want? Well, Jesus said, let me tell you what I want first. What I want first is for everyone to understand, you got to love your life less, okay, than you love me. I must be maximum in your life. That way, so if God really shows up and says, hey, look, I really do want you to go to Africa, you're not going to be like, Africa? Now, how come pastor get to go work at the law school and I got to go to Africa? Well, that's not your question to have answered. Your answer is, yes, Lord. Okay, I'm going. And God's like, look, I'm telling you, if you do what I tell you, you can't experience the fulfillment that comes from God when you are in the center of his will. The peace that comes from God when you're in the center of his will. When you're doing exactly what God wants you to do and you're in it, folks, there's nothing like it. Nothing like it. There comes a time when you have to realize that Jesus, this was a real story. See, people love kind of the, when you read the Old Testament, the New Testament especially. A lot of churches will say, we need to be like the old church. You know, they had this going on, that going on, they love one another, and they this. And I'm like, what church are you reading about? The one in Acts. Okay, let me make sure we're talking about the same church. Look, here's something that went on in the church. I want you to see this right quick. I want you to think about this now. Because you got to think about what it is that you're saying that you want. You know, people are like, I want to marry like my mom and them head. Girl, you don't know what was going on in them rooms in the back. You just see what you're seeing. This is what it says in Acts chapter 6. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Greeks against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. All right, now stop. Listen to what the words say. It says, in those days when the church grew, okay, the church grew, the Greek widows were complaining against the Jewish widows because the Jewish widows were getting more in the daily ministration. So in other words, when they would go around and give out the rations or whatever they were doing, the Jewish widows were getting more than the Gentile widows. That was happening in the church. And Jesus had just left. Okay, so all these people talking about, I don't know if I want to go to that church, a bunch of hypocrites. Shut up. Everywhere you go, you're going to find hypocrites. The question is, are you willing to do what Jesus said? Love your life less But look at what the disciples do. They don't call, have no prayer meeting. Look at what it says in verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples, all the people together, and said, it is not a good reason that we should leave the word of God and go serve tables. In other words, why you folks can't get this together? We should not have to leave preaching to come serve tables so that we're doing it what? Fairly. So we got an answer. See, it's not because they wanted to just be what? The preachers. It's like, look, we just ain't got time. We got to do what God told us to go do. He says, so this is what I want y'all to do. Verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look out among yourselves for 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So in other words, they had problems going on in the church. They had a plan then to fix it. See, in other words, they didn't just say, let's pray. Maybe God will change their hearts so that everybody will treat everybody fair. Mm-mm. Disciples said, nah, we ain't doing that. This is what we about to do. We not leaving the word of God to come minister tables to make sure it's done right. But we got a plan. And this is the plan. Y'all going to get together and vote in place some people. Select people you all trust and put them over this business and let them do it. Now, their expectation then would be what? After a while to check it out and make sure it's running right. That's the way this works. So we can't just live life haphazardly. We ought to end up somewhere that we know we're going. I've said this over the last few weeks. It's like a navigation system, you know. You want to go to Atlanta. You want to go to Florida, wherever. You're going to put it into that little system you got. And it's going to tell you which way to go. Now, you can't trust them all because sometimes they got you going all in the back. Sister Laura and I went one time when we went somewhere and the thing say, we here. And boy, look, we was up in, looked like the woods. And the Lord was like, I don't think we're in the right place. I said, well, Lord, that's obvious we're not in the right place. It was like there wasn't even no lights where we was. I was like, and I kept following it. I said, no, it's what it say. We going to do it. Turn left. I turned the whole time. I'm thinking, this don't seem right, you know. And since the Lord be doing it, you know, she be working the word like she's doing the word. I'm just trying to let you do your thing. I don't think you know where you're going, but that's okay. And so we get there, and it says, you've arrived. And we're on, like, this street with pretty much nothing on it, right? And it's, like, dark and all that. And I'm like, see, this is how life works. You know, somebody telling you done arrived, and it's all black around you. You can't see nothing, but they telling you done arrived. And you're like, nah, this ain't right. Something wrong with where I am right now, and I got to know that. I got to understand that, and I have to realize that God has a way to get me out. But I have to go see what does it look like. So if I want a way out, say my relationship, and I'm interested in keeping my relationship, why don't we try to start there? I'm interested in trying to keep the relationship I'm in. I'm not even talking about a marriage. It could be anything, a friendship, let's say. Well, the only way it's going to happen is somewhere I have to yield. You see what I'm saying? I have to yield. Maybe my friend has an attitude about something that I don't have. But if I want him to be my friend, somebody got to yield. Well, I'm not yielding, I say, because I know what I'm saying is correct. They not yielding, they say, because they know what they're saying is correct. Well, we have no choice but to go our separate ways. And the question is our friendship worth preserving? If it is, then somebody got to yield. But most of the time, people are like, yeah, but the problem is I'm always getting walked on. Well, now, if you perceive yielding, like Christ says, as being walked on, then I don't really even know what to tell you. I mean, the Bible says in one place, it says, don't do anything out of vanity or out of spite. It says, but consider other people better than yourself. Now, that's what it say. It says, consider other people's things before yours. This is why I think I was so, I'm moved to tears this morning by what was happening with Gary. Because I got children. But they're alive today. I'm not crying over my kid. But as I kept considering how he must feel, I couldn't help but be moved to emotions about it. I can't understand how he couldn't be saddened by that. and it saddened me. And so it's when God is saying, look to the things of others, this is what he's saying as we enter into these situations in life. What's happening is he tells us, count the cost, meaning then that I'm looking at it to see, what does it really take to make this thing go? In other words, if I'm going to build a house, I said that a minute ago, how much money do I need? I tell people all the time, if you talk to a contractor, this is how I live, and that's why my life is so peaceful. And I'm not saying these people just lie to you. I think they tell you what they think works and what they hope will happen. I mean, look, now, if you're trying to get my money out of my pocket into yours, surely you're not about to sit and tell me, hey, you know what I'm about to do ain't going to help you. Unless you're so honest that you just don't care. You're not going to say that to me. So I don't, you ain't going to make me mad. That's why I let this Lord work with almost everybody, because I already told him, Lord, you already know I'm about to get mad if I talk to these people. I said, because I know that man told us X, Y, Z. Now he's saying Y, Z, X, and I'm about to get mad because I know what he's saying. But you talk to him. I said, because I don't need to talk to him, because when he said it, I already knew. So when he told me it was going to cost me $60,000, I figured $75,000. That's how I think. Count the cost. What's part of the cost? He either not sure, or he forgot to tell you that the people down at the parish going to come to your house and tell you your fence too short or something else wrong or whatever else got to go on, and now you got to come up with this money. And now you mad. Y'all know your car you bought, and then it didn't have no special pads in it that you thought come with it, and they told you, oh, no, that was the flow model. You thought, well, that's the one I was looking at. I know, but the pads are special. You need, that's another $1,000. And my steering wheel, but that steering wheel, that was the XK model you was looking at. The steering wheel, another $150. And before you know it, you got to give them $5,000 more for the car they told you was going to cost this much. Or the windows, or the sprinkler, or whatever else it is you thought you bought. Okay? You meet somebody. I know you thought that was their house. But since you ain't ask them, they ain't bothered to tell you that ain't their house. That's my daddy's house I'm living in. You know, the whole time you thinking, man, that boy got a house. Woo, yeah. Get ready to move in. He like, oh, we can't stay here no more. Why? When my daddy told me once I got married, I had to have my own house. What? This ain't your house, she said? Count the cost. Say to yourself, what am I willing to put up with? What will it take to get to the finish line? People now, I tell people right now, if you got a big truck or a big vehicle, Lord help me. I hope you didn't buy it because gas was cheap. Think about it. I'm telling you, I know people got big trucks. Trucks so big, look, they truck like this. They come riding down around me like, oh, my God. One time I had a truck like that, but I got rid of mine. But sometimes when they pull up, I be like, I got to get me one of these. Sister Lord, I can't take it. They come and they drive over and they look at me. I'm like, I got to get me one of them. And then you go look at the price, and I'm like, that's okay, I'm going to leave it there. And then look at the gas. But I've always told somebody, if you buy anything like a big truck and you consider gas, you don't need no big truck. You really know what I'm saying? If you considered gas when you bought it, you say, man, I'm going to buy gas ain't but $1 a gallon. I know it's a 100-gallon tank, but I got $100. Yeah, but what you going to do when you need $500? You know, you got to drive the thing. You need $500. Count the cost. These things need gas. People say, Pastor, why you sold your Mercedes? Let me just lay it plain. I said, Pastor, getting old. My Mercedes getting old. You know, you do one or two things. Buy another one, which them things is very expensive. Or you going to pay every time you go down there just to ask them a question. Can I? $65, please. What? That's diagnosis fee. I ain't gotten the dough yet. Hey, you want some coffee? That's what y'all paying for. It's free. That ain't free coffee. selling donuts and you're sitting in a little massage chair. I ain't trying to look, I won't talk. I ain't trying to do this. But everything. Service A, $400. Service B, $800. You need a set of ties, $2,000. $2,000? Well, don't replace them all. Who does that? Who don't replace your ties? You know, if you can't drive up in no Mercedes, talking about, well, look, just see if I can get a retread on that right front. What? What? You don't drive your Mercedes down to these places down here. These are nice places, but they ain't for Mercedes Benz. You got to go to the dealer. They open the hood up. Don't nobody recognize nothing in there but them. You want to open the hood? How much that's going to cost me? I mean, I had a little bit of dent in something. Oh, $500. Well, we got to take the whole bumper off, and it takes some special tool and all this. I'm like, just do it, man. Just do it. So pastor like, look, warranty about to run out. You know, I don't want to be spending like $2,000-$3,000 every 6 months until I'm however old to keep my car running or get another one. I won't do that. I count the car. I sat down. I figured it out. And it just so happened the pandemic hit and used car prices shot up. And I heard a voice say, I ain't going to say it was the Holy Ghost, but I heard a voice say, if you want to get out, now's a good time. And so then went down there and gave them people that car, said, give me that cash. I took my cash and went on. Now I don't have to worry about it. I'm not distressed. I don't feel upset, bad. I see one, it don't bother me because I know why I did it, because I count the cost of future ownership. And I made a decision. It wasn't an emotional one. Now, it was for a minute when I looked at it because it was all clean and people kept saying, man, this we're going to get a good deal for this car. I mean, even what they gave me, they was still talking about what they was going to do. And I'm thinking, man, I don't know if I should have sold my car to myself. I don't know if I should have sold my car. And then I said, look, turn your way, walk away. You've considered it. Don't look back. And then that was over with. But I had to count the cost. It was a decision that cost counting came in. So every time I'm suggesting to you what Jesus is saying, is he's not trying to tell people, go hate your mama, go hate this one, go hate that one. What he's telling you, though, is that if you really want to go forward with the word and be my disciple, when you say, when he says, let me get back over to the scripture, verse 25 in chapter 14. I want to just look at when he says this. When he says, verse 26, because this could be seen as very harsh, and that's not what he means in a way. If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brother and his sisters, yes, his own life, he cannot be my disciple. So now if Jesus then turns around later and he sends these guys, these apostles, and not one of them telling you, husband, love your wife like Christ loved the church. Wait a minute, hold up, you would think you'd be saying. But that they're perfectly matched. Because there will be times when, whether husband or wives, employees, why don't we use that one instead? Let's get off husband and wife for a minute. All right, let me jump over here right quick. This is what the book says in Ephesians. It says this, it says, servants or employees, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, and not unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So when I go to work and I got a boss and I don't like what you just told me to do and I think it don't make sense and it don't none of that, I do it anyway, long as it ain't illegal. You the boss, you my supervisor, I'm gonna go ahead and yield, even though what? I don't want to. I don't know, y'all may not even had no boss like that. I didn't have bosses like that, all right? Where I just didn't, that what you just said didn't make no kind of sense. Or what you telling me, I feel like you doing it on purpose because you really are like putting pressure on me because you just feel like it today. I don't know what's going on at your house, but you know what? I was doing fine before I showed up at work. Now, it might be you and your wife ain't have a good day, so now you want to bring your bad day to all of us. But guess what? I can't really say that. I can't respond like that. God wants me to respond like this. So the Bible then tells me what? Be obedient to them that are your masters and not with eye service. In other words, not when they just come in. And you was grinning, hey, good to see you. And soon they go out, you be like, I can't stand him. Him and his wife must be having another day. He make me sick. I'm so sick of him. But Jesus, I'm going to do what you want. You know, that ain't what God wants. God really wants me to pray. God, help me to love this person and to try to submit and yield to this so that my boss can what? Find Jesus. If he don't know him. Yeah, because ultimately, if I'm supposed to be the Christian, you know, every time they come in, you know, it was the way I used to work it with TDJ. Get ready, get ready, get ready. That's all you heard. All over the building, everybody got their radio on. Get ready, get ready, get ready. And then you go in there, and they all like sour-faced. Can you help me? You always want something. Well, I'm sorry. I thought that's what you was here for, to give me the report I need. I'm sorry. I'll be back later. I'm trying to have lunch. Okay, I'm sorry. And like everybody else, I don't do lunch. And they would tell me this. Now, they ain't saying it behind my back, because they don't work for me, these people. Now, that's what I ain't like you. Well, don't go to lunch. Gonna work yourself to death. Oh, all the talk. Look, I just asked for the report. I'm sorry. Just can't y'all put a sign up or something, say close 12 to 1, something, so I know. Don't come over here messing with your people between 12 and 1. I just didn't know. Can't you just respond? But you're over there with your Bible now. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Woman, you loosed. You crazy is what you are right now. The way you talking to me, you don't seem too loosed to me. You loosed. That's what you listening to right now. I'm telling you, I have experienced this. I know what I'm talking about. I've walked into the middle of you listening to this, and you turn around and disrespect me as a person. Not disrespect me as a boss. I said as a person. You could have just turned around and told me, I don't have your report right now. I'll have to get it later. No, you want to call attention to who I am, what's wrong with me, why I'm going to die, I guess, early because I'm working too hard, I'm going to have a heart attack, all them things you saying out your mouth. Thank God I already know Jesus, I say to myself, and walk away. Because if you are his representative, I don't want nothing to do with him. Not that Jesus, I don't want you representing. I don't want nothing to do with him. And that's how I felt about that. All over the building. Count the cost associated with discipleship. If you're going to follow Jesus, I tell people now, they joke about it, but they know I'm serious. Sometimes they go places, I say, look, don't put that blue shirt on. You know, if you about to go down there and holler at somebody at the store, tell me, I'm going to set their mind right. Take that blue shirt off, please. Please, because you've been down there talking about this and handing out devotionals and all that. Now you about to go give them a piece of your mind. Let them understand that's your mind you're giving them, and we don't teach that here. Yeah, we don't teach that here. What we teach is, you know, they did us wrong, but you know what? We good. We're going to be quiet, and we're just going to walk. And that's what we have to understand. That's the cost. God is saying, you got to put all of this before yourself. See, it's one thing to say, I'm in the army. I'm following God. And following God. That's why Jesus said, count the cost. If you're going to build a house today, you need land. You got to do surveys. You got to have all kind of stuff done. You got to make sure you got a contractor. And right now, guess what? Prices are going up and up and up and up and up. So you got to count the cost. And you can't say stuff like, well, I'm just going to believe God. For what? What does that mean? Seriously, what does that mean? Most people in their world, God just does stuff. It don't matter. It don't matter. You ain't prepared no kind of way. When God does stuff, it's that you've prepared and you've done your best. Then God steps in and does the rest. But just me sitting back, that's like me coming up in here now. I'm just going to preach a good sermon today. How you going to do it? I'm going to open my mouth and like the scripture say, the Lord will fill it. Open your mouth, don't nothing come out. And the only thing going to come out is what you've put in here. If you don't go read, if you don't know what the scriptures say, how God going to show up? He going to show up for what? I mean, what is he going to do? You're going, that's the Bible says that. Open your mouth and the Lord will fill it. It doesn't just happen like that. No, pastor, go, you read your scriptures, you try to go back and forward through them, and then when the time comes, God will give you what you need to say in the moment you're in, and then you do what you do. But you got to have a reservoir to pull from. You got to count the cost. My wife is angry with me. I wonder why. Because you just married some crazy woman who just love to stay mad. Really? There's something really wrong with you. I'm serious. If you had told me in the beginning, man, this woman crazy, she stay crazy all the time. But I'm finna marry her. Okay. All right, good. Good. People don't just become crazy. People drive people crazy. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, there's some people, they come crazy. But if they come crazy, you're supposed to know it. That's crazy, you say. You recognize it. Count the cost. But they cute. Count the cost. All of that together, count the cost. Are they 60 years cute? Oh, Lord, y'all good. Jesus, the point I'm making, everything, I'm counting the cost. I'm looking at this and I'm saying, okay, you know what? I can pay the cost associated with this. Because Jesus is telling me, this is how it works. See, we could ignore Jesus if he didn't say it. In other words, if Jesus didn't say it, y'all could say, Pastor crazy. I don't know nothing he's saying. But let's look at what Jesus said one more time. Look at what he says. I mean, if y'all met Sister Lori, y'all, most of y'all know my wife. Most of y'all know my wife most of the time, if not 99% of the time, is what? Smiling and talking and speaking to people. That's just what she do. Now, all of a sudden, every Sunday y'all see her, she look like she got a plum stuck up in her mouth and she won't say nothing. Something changed. You would have to say, now something changed. She don't normally act like that, you say. What happened? Something happened. You see, you look at it and you recognize that something changed because why? Maybe, just maybe along the way, if you didn't count the cost associated with what you're doing, you could create a situation. See, she doesn't mind so much me and her talking. I've said this before out here. When I met Sister Lori loves to go out to eat, but she don't like to eat. Did y'all hear that? She loves to go out to eat, but she don't like to eat. All right? What does that mean? It means that many times we go and we always bring leftovers. She does. Okay, she brings them. That's the way it was when I first met her. It was that way. So now, if now you're married and you're in the year 22, and in year 22, you've been 15 of them years, you've been saying, I don't understand. Every time we go to the restaurant, why you got to bring leftovers? Why you can't eat the food? Why buy so much? You know, folks, it's like a downward spiral. Eventually, you just pop. So now all of a sudden, she just don't really like me that much. And she don't really, it ain't y'all. She just don't really want me bothered around here too much. Because it's just, he get on my nerves. You know, he up there preaching and talking and all that like he's some kind of pastor. And everybody like, hey, pastor, don't know how he crazy. You see what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, but you seeing something. Well, that means that I failed to count the cost that it would take to what? Make sure that what you want on the outside, which is what? I want her to be a happy, good wife, and she's excited, she loves church. That's what you want. Okay, but what is the cost associated with having your wife be this person? You can't throw it all on God and say, well, I'm just going to do it. I see these things I don't necessarily care for. I'm not going to do it. No, you adjust your life to these things. You have to. You say, but Pastor, why would you give up your life? See, this is how people talk. Go read all of the psychology. You'll never be happy if you keep giving up your own life. That's opposite of what Jesus said. Jesus said, look, folks, count. Now, it may not be a good idea to give up your life the way you about to, let's say. In other words, if you recognize the person that you might be dealing with or the job or whatever, because they tell you with the job. Some people will take a job that people have told you already. We work 60 hours a week minimum around here. You're like, ha, ha, hey, I can work. That's what you say now. You need to count the cost of 60 hours a week. Because if they're telling you 60, it's probably 70. Because they don't want to run you off. Count the cost. Then when you get in there, you're going to always be what? A productive worker doing what you should. Because you understood what 60 hours means. You sat back and you thought about it. Can I go home like I normally do? Can I go on vacations like I normally do? Can I do these things I normally do? If you start a business, you say to yourself, it's not the same. I don't know why people want to say it's the same. It's better. I want to be my own boss. No, you don't. When you're your own boss, don't nobody wake you up, but don't nobody make sure you get paid. If it's raining outside and you need to go outside to work, you ain't going to work today. If you sit in front of your computer all day, you're going to get sitting in front of your computer and you ain't going to get paid. On the other hand, you go to work for somebody else, long as they don't catch you. You can sit on that computer and play all day. They still pay you. It rain, they tell you stay home. Take a leave day. Woo! Take leave, you say. Working for yourself has an associated cost way beyond I'm free. Can't nobody tell me what to do and stuff like that. Oh, it's a lot more to it than that. Yeah, it means that when that sign say we open at 8, you need to be there. Because otherwise, your employees might not be. When the signs say we have lunch at 11, you don't need to have lunch. Because that's exactly when one of your customers going to show up mad. And they ain't going to be able to find nobody. And they're going to be upset. And you want them to act like normal people and just say, look, man, just wait till somebody come back. No, no, no. You the boss. It's your business. You want people to come back. So you need to get in there with it. You got to be on top of it. All this stuff. Count the cost before you call yourself. I'm about to, the Lord spoke to me, we say. Open my business. You sure he spoke to you? Did you count the cost associated with what you're saying? Well, he told me to leave my job. You do understand that when you leave your job, I think you risk to give you benefits with some insurance for about a month or two or three, maybe. But after that, you got to get your health care from somewhere else. I didn't know that. Where you thought you was going to get it? Well, somebody told me Obamacare, you know, did you go study that? Do you understand it? Count the cost. People are always walking up surprised. I didn't realize this. What are you talking about? You know, every project I start, that's why I told y'all, I always put in just extra, just in case. Why? Because it never goes like people are telling you. And they might be meaningful. They might want it to be that way. But when it's over, whether it's the devil or just life in general, it never goes quite like you planned. Count the cost. This is why Jesus said when he talked about the guy with the army. He says, doesn't a king consider if he has 10,000 soldiers and he's about to go fight somebody that got 20, that maybe what he might want to do is send and tell him, hey, can we cut a deal? Well, I thought it was God. I thought we were talking about God here. I mean, you know, I'm bigger than 1,000. You know how people say that, one to put 1,000 to flight, two to put 10,000 to flight. Yeah, I know it. It say all that. But the Bible also says the just walk by faith. It's easy to talk about what God can do. It's harder to live through it. See, I can sit here and tell this brother, hey, man, God will give you peace of past all understanding. Well, I hear you, Pastor, but right now is a moment that most folk ain't walking through. And it's easy to say what you're saying, but right now, you know, I'm having to actually live this one. You know, people talk about Job, but they ain't never had to really deal with what Job is talking about. And most of the things that we're dealing with are not that hard. But Jesus says, I need you to count the cost associated with whatever it is. If you really want to get to it, you got to have a plan that includes those costs. See, you cannot just, when you do a wedding, I've seen it happen many times with people with weddings. Man, they got a wedding so big, and they forgot to add it up. I mean, you know, each little piece along the way, they say, oh, well, the limo ain't but 1,000. Oh, this ain't but 12. This ain't but this. This ain't that, that, that. And they never added all the columns up. And then when they finally get to the end of the bank account and still got $10,000 to go, people are like, oh, my God, what should I do? I don't know, but you got a problem. You didn't plan the cost. I mean, you didn't know how much invitations cost? Well, I ain't think they could be that much. What do you mean you ain't think they could be that much? Did you go check? You know what your people want for that hall? Look, I don't care about all that. Did you check? When we started saying we were going to do our evangelism across the country, we went and checked the cost of a tent, the cost of a truck, the the cost of chairs, the cost of mics and speakers and all this other stuff, stages, all this stuff, it's going to cost. You don't just say, well, the Lord going to provide, because guess what? It don't happen like that. But you got to count the cost. He'll provide. But did you at least tell him what you need? Think about it. We're going to heaven, and you're going to say, God, you didn't provide what I needed for that. He said, you ain't even tell me how much it costs. Well, you should know. I expect you to know. Stop. That's backwards. We have to go to God with what we know. Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For he that seeks, finds. He that knocks, it's open. He that asks, he gets. So if God says, ask me what you want, and I will give it to you, what would you say? What would come out of your mouth? What's your plan? In other words, people are living life with no plan. I already told my wife, I do not plan to sit around and die of old age with nobody coming to visit my house. I ain't going out like that because I done watched it. I saw my dad. He had all these friends and everything when he was a big boss up there at Southern, and all these people would call him and all that when they needed his help. But then when all of a sudden he was old and he couldn't do nothing no more, ain't nobody go visit him but me, my sister. That was it. A few church members. That was it. So I said, you know what? If this high is going to go, we need a plan. So when I look at it every now and then, I say, you know what? It's going to be me and you. I'm here most of the time. Huh? Some people might come visit us. We need a plan. So every time we're building something, now y'all might say, that sounds crazy. Nuh-uh. Every time we do something, I say, okay, now, how are we going to get in there when we old? But you know, ain't nobody about to come over here and help you get in that tub. We either need to figure out how we going to redo this tub or whatever we're going to do and when we're going to do it. You're still young enough to get in there. Y'all, look, I got a tub so deep, you need a stick to hold yourself up as you go down. That's how deep the tub is. Well, what you supposed to do when you 100 years old? I'm going to sit up in there. I'm going to need a little button to call y'all. Pastor, it ain't pastor fell down and can't get up. Pastor sit down and can't get up. Pastor stuck in his tub. That's how deep it is. So you need a plan. Count the cost. Well, the Lord gonna handle it. The Lord ain't gonna pull you out that tub. You need to see your tub right now and say, oh, that tub there, that's not gonna work 20 years from now. Why I worry about 20 years, people say. Well, don't worry about then. But you gonna get there. And you don't want to arrive without a plan. At least you had a plan. If it don't work, fine. But at least you had a plan. Folks, the best thing we could teach our kids when they're younger, and even down where you are now, no matter where you are in your life, and maybe you have this, and God bless you if you do, is to say to yourself, what is my plan when I stand before the throne of God? What would my life, how would I have planned it out? If I could have had what I wanted, the way I was trying to do it, based on the way I thought God wanted my life to go, what would it look like? And now I have to count the cost associated with that to get it done. I mean, otherwise, it's like I'm living in delusion. I don't really have a plan. We're going to Hawaii, my wife and I say. We're going to take a vacation. Really? And what's your plan? How much do you need? Where y'all going to stay? What are you know, do you have a plan? Do you have an idea? Do you know how much it's going to cost? People say all the time, well, you know, we're going to have 20 kids. I'm not telling you don't have kids. You should have as many as you want, you should say to people. But please, I know the Bible says you should be fruitful and multiply. But you also need a plan. At least say to yourself, what? If you decide you want all your kids to go to private school, that's your man. I want all my kids going to private school. Well, you better get a plan. Because them people ain't giving away school. Now, if that's part of your plan, then you're going to need to get to praying that God will what? Move on somebody's heart to give you that. But you got to have a plan. See, so I'm not telling you what not to do. This is not about what not to do. This is about to say, Jesus has made it plain to us. If we were following Jesus around today, we were following him around. Because, you know, he's giving us bread and fish, and he's talking great, and we get healed and all that. We're loving it. That's when Jesus turned to him and said, look, there's a cost to being my disciple. He says, now, you're going to have to love less everything, your wife, your mama, your daddy, everything, and even your own life if you want to follow me. Because the deeper we go, the tougher it gets, and there's a cost associated with following me. And that cost is that you give up your own life. See, to me, like Gary being here today, is accepting part of the cost of discipleship. The fact that what? He knew he had something he was doing and he felt he should do, and he felt that what? How he feels about God, he has to do what he's called to do. If he had called me, I would have said, I understand. If he said he couldn't be here today, I would have understood that. I understand, brother, I do. But he made that choice. To have him and his family here, he made that choice. Just that what? But that's a cost. In other words, God, Jesus, look, I love you and care enough about you that my own feelings right now, my own emotions right now, that I'm going to put them behind and do and serve you. It's a cost that we pay associated with it. So this is what makes these situations go better. This is what makes marriages go better when they're about to just go kaputs. This is what makes it better on our jobs for us. This is what helps us to move. Now, all of us have failed in things. That's not the point. I'm not sitting here suggesting that, you know, we haven't. We've all failed in stuff. What we're talking about now is, God, how do we get ourselves on a track that puts us where we want to be? See, so what I'm saying is you have to say that for yourself. You know, I have a vision for my own life. You know, I kind of see myself. It's just like right now. We have a plan that no matter what happens, that if anybody came to this church and tried to attack this church any kind of way, my vision for this church is that no one will be hurt. Okay, Pastor, what's your plan? Do you have a plan? Or you just figure God gonna make it work? Mm-mm. You try to have a plan. Well, what's the cost associated with this plan? We got cameras we have to buy. We have alarm systems we have to install. We may just need to hire someone to be outside. Who knows? But the point is, there may be costs associated with your plan. What's your plan? See, once you give me the plan, I can tell you, oh, yeah, you're going to have to pay for this, 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 and this. Now you can decide, do you want to execute that plan? See, what I can't stand out here in the world is something happening to people. The other day at some church, they had a potluck, and two people get killed at the potluck. Some guy comes in that had been there before, and now two people get killed. How? How does this happen? If you don't plan and you don't count the cost of your plan, you just go through life. And sometime when stuff happens, people say, I just don't know why or how that happened. Well, yeah, there was no plan. Everybody knows this stuff is going on. Everybody knows. You have your own home. You might say to yourself, well, you know what? I need to do something. You say, I don't want nobody just breaking my house. Okay, well, what, you just going to sprinkle some oil around it? Is that your plan? Maybe it'll work for you. All I know is there's some associated costs with that kind of prayer. Y'all see what I'm saying? In other words, Jesus said, only these kind go out by fasting and prayer. There's some people don't know what a fast look like if I send it and put it on a plate. But they believe in God for things that require that kind of fasting and prayer. If you ain't going to have no alarm at all, I ain't got no alarm. I sleep with my doors open. God going to watch over me. Well, you better get to know God real good and make sure that you stand in the way you're supposed to, because other than that, somebody going to be standing over your head saying, give me your stuff. Because that's how this world is working. We got to understand it. So I say, I need a plan. Well, I plan to be able to sleep through the night. Okay, what'd that look like? Boom, 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 boom. Oh, Lord, I don't know if I could afford that. Well, it might not be that you can't afford the alarm system. It's just that you might need to cancel your Disney subscription and go on and give it to the alarm people. Oh, no, I can't do that. Well, okay, well, then you know the cost is. See, the point is, I don't want to live what? Like out here in delusion. Everybody keeps wondering why things ain't happening for me, they'll say. I just don't get it, why it ain't happening. One, they ain't got no plan. And two, when they get a plan, they don't count the cost. They count no cost associated with it at all. One of the reasons I tell people this all the time, one of the reasons I believe our church has been successful financially, we always have lived below our means. Always. We bring in a certain amount of money, we stay under it. We don't try to go, okay, God, we about to believe you for the next $1 million and then go get ourselves tied to that much debt and then what? Believe God to just pull us out of it all. One thing, and I'm going to close with this. They say this in the world of finance, and you're going to start seeing it in a lot of churches. It's not till the tide goes out that you know who's swimming without their clothes on. And all I can tell you is that right now, with the price of everything going up like it is, some of these buildings and some of these other things are going to start becoming albatrosses is what's going to happen. Because people are running out of money to give to people churches, and people ain't got money to just be handing over to people willy-nilly like that. And the bottom line is that it better be God that put that on the block. Because if he didn't, everything is contracting right now. It's contracting, contracting, contracting. And people are looking. So if I'm preaching to you, oh, this is how you get delivered, and right now you're paying $8 a gallon. They tell you it got up to $7.50 or $8 in California for gas. Some people can't even drive to church, let alone talking about going. You have to realize then that what? It's a lot of people in this country, and including Christians, have financed their prosperity. They looking prosperous, and oh, everybody done financed your prosperity. Well, when the tag go out, folks, I tell you what, it better be God, because if you don't have a plan to weather the storm, if you didn't count the cost associated, but Chapman and I were talking one time about somebody we knew. I think the house note they had was like $7,000 a month. And so the joke was, man, look, I can't even help you if you miss one house note. Let alone you miss two. You miss two, you owe $14,000. That's just the house note. You still got to pay the utilities and everything else. So if you done miss your house note, I'm sorry, I would love to help you. I know what the Bible say, loan to them that ass. But ain't no sense in me giving you that, because even if I give it to you, you ain't never going to catch up. You can't catch up with that. And if you can't tell me you ain't got 6 or 7 months put on the side, you did not count the cost of what you just entered yourself into. And so it's important to understand, God didn't curse you. You just didn't count the cost. And so that's what we got to make sure we're doing in every situation, relationships, your job, everything, count the cost. Let's bow our heads and we're going to pray and get ready to dismiss. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you again for the opportunity to come into your house. We thank you for the Lord Jesus who you sent to us to teach us and to guide us, to show us the way. Father, who made it clear to us that the only way we're going to have the kind of relationships we want, where we're loving our parents and visiting them in their old age and giving up our young lives and other things that we think we're doing, is to recognize, Father, that it's us loving our life less than we love you. Father, we need to love you above everything. And then it's easy to put the word into practice because we've count the cost of what you've asked us to do. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that everybody in here will walk worthy of the discipleship to which you have called them. Father, we ask it even now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.